Was it just me or were they singing today, Tim? That sounded fantastic. Oh, come on now. Well done. We're going to participate just a little bit right now, okay? You know what day today is? Good. I was hoping you'd say Palm Sunday. Figured somebody was going to say Sunday, but yes, Palm Sunday. So, day of the big parade. You don't have to talk at all, but turn to your neighbor if you have ever been in a parade and just either shake your head yes or no, okay? Ever been in a parade? Okay. There was more talking than I said, but hey. So, same thing if you've ever sat in the front row of a parade, either yes or no to your neighbor. Okay, good. We're getting a swing of it. Third or fourth or anything farther back to where you couldn't really see in a parade. Same thing. Okay. Same if you've ever seen a parade on TV. Great. If you know what a parade is. If you can imagine what you were feeling if you were part of the parade. Can you imagine that? Okay, perfect. If you don't know who I am or you have forgotten, my name is James. I'm on staff here, and welcome to Palm Sunday. Allow me to pray. Oh, Jesus, all we say and do, hopefully 7 days a week, points to you. But especially during this time that we're gathered here, we want what is said and sung and prayed and petitioned to point to you. So, Lord, may that be the case this morning as we open up your story. And we ask you to allow us to hear what you want each of us, both individually and as a corporate body, to hear. So as your story says so often, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, so a little bit about myself. I love this time of year. We're good with that. I love this time of year because I'm a basketball fan. Anybody else a basketball fan? Okay, there we go. Finally got like a couple of amens in there. We're not naming any specific teams or anything, okay? Because I don't do that from the front. Couple weeks back, I was watching the State B basketball tournament on TV because it's played in the Spokane Arena, and it is broadcast live on the local channels. And, you know, a lot of these like State B schools, they're full of passion, right? But I don't know how often they get introductions the way that they get them at the arena. Because, oh, I didn't care who won the game. I really didn't. I got no skin in the game, no kid that plays for State B. But they would announce everybody on the team. You guess, I mean, some of you saw, like, they'd announce the starters, and then they'd announce the people coming off the bench, and then they'd announce the managers, and then they'd announce the statisticians, and then they'd announce the people who locked the gym before and after practice, and then they'd announce the, I mean, seriously, they were announcing everybody. And I can only begin to imagine what it's like for those kids at these smaller schools to have the lights dim and, you know, their names over the speakers, and it's just glorious. Any State B basketball, former State B basketball players in here? Okay, well, did they have lights back when you played State B? That's my friend Tommy. He's not a day over 37, okay? Okay, so you're right, they get announced. Lot of hype, lot of excitement, a lot of adrenaline. I wonder if the disciples were feeling some of that on the day of the parade. All right, I wonder if on the day of the triumphal entry, as they joined Jesus on this flat place before they were to drop down and then go back up, I wonder if they felt some of that same excitement that the players felt, right? You heard the story read by Cindy a little bit earlier, this journey towards Jerusalem. They stop in the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, and then you got the donkey, right? I have access to a little donkey. They're not here today, and I don't have it today, but maybe next year we're going to bring a little donkey, okay? It'll be awesome. We'll take pictures outside, not inside. Luke 19, we just got the carpets clean. Thank you. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. I mean, picture it. I'm sure this is how it happened, all right? The crowds are there, the light dims, and the announcer's voice starts booming over the microphone, right? And now, coming down, leading the charge, he may be known as the lesser, but he is not the least, the least, the least. Please give it up for James. Not me, okay? We're talking about the guy in the story, okay?
Okay, following him,
one of the sons of thunder, the brother of John. He's been part of the inner circle from the very beginning. If there was a fantastic play, healing, feeding, miracle, he's been in the midst of former fishermen with big, strong hands, the other James. I think this is how it went, right? Following him, another member of the inner circle. This guy has been known to reactively climb out of boats and walk on water, and boy, can he swing a sword. JC, the captain's had to pull him aside a couple of times and say, calm down, man, but he's earned one of the coolest nicknames ever. Also a former fisherman, so he's got a strange odor, but a strong back. This man originally from Bethsaida in Galilee, give it up for Simon the Rock, Peter! You can see it happening, can't you? I mean, this is the start of a parade, and now for the one you've all been waiting for. He's coming in on the back of a donkey, so we don't know how tall he is. But let me tell you what, his stat sheet is so full you can write books upon books upon books and never tell his story. Entering into Jerusalem with over 9,000 men and women and children served at two picnics. Averaging 7,777 saves per year, having healed 3,456 women and children in the last 3 years. He assisted in 12 and 72, sending them out on their mission trips. He blocked 666 demons. He blocked 666 demons from tormenting their humans. This man can walk on water and debate the Pharisees without breaking a sweat. He can make an entire dining room table out of the tree that Zacchaeus climbed and eight chairs. Born in Bethlehem, refugee in Egypt, returned and raised in Nazareth. Give it up for Jesus, the Lamb, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ.
Oh, hey, if you're new here, I've been here for 18 years, and that has never happened before. We have never dimmed the lights or had reverb on the microphone, so please do come back. Maybe it didn't happen like this. But the disciples had to feel that sense of excitement on the day of the parade, didn't they? I mean, they're standing on this flat spot about to go down before going back up to celebrate the Passover with Jesus. They had to have their chests out, their heads up. They were probably fist bumping because they did that back then and high-fiving. And, you know, they were ready. They had the music going on in their head because they didn't have portable speakers back then, right? And I know what song they would have been singing. It would have been Psalm 67. Listen to the words. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face shine with favor upon us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among the people everywhere. Catch this. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. May the nations praise you. As they're standing there on that flat space about to drop down, they're looking at the nations praising Jesus.
It's assumed and estimated that in that time of Passover week in Jerusalem, over 2.5 million people would have showed up. So there would have been the nations on the side of the road cheering. And I'm going to guess, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that the disciples were finally thinking to themselves, okay, now's when Jesus comes in and kicks some tail. Right? Now's when he comes in as the conquering Messiah. Now's when he comes in and really starts blocking and all that other good stuff. Now, side note, the text doesn't tell us what the disciples were thinking on that day, but I'm guessing they were thinking that whole bit about the conquering Messiah, because 46 days later, I think they were still thinking about that. So you got the 6 days of Holy Week, you got Jesus arrested, crucified, resurrected, and then 40 days later he ascends into heaven. But right before he ascends into heaven, listen to what the disciples ask him. Acts chapter 1 verse 6 says this. So when the apostles were with him, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? My guess is that that's what they were thinking on that flat space about to go down to enter into Jerusalem. Now, I wonder if the disciples at all in that moment, on that day of the parade, were thinking back to the first time they were introduced as Jesus' disciples, again in a flat space going down a mountain. Were they thinking at all about what Jesus said that day as they stood cheering on the day of the parade? That's ultimately what we're going to be doing today. I'm just going to say, I wonder what they were thinking. And you're going to leave here and think, did he even have a point today? And I don't know if I do, but I'm wondering if the disciples thought back to what Jesus said on that first time they were introduced. As a church, we're in this year-long sermon series. We're calling it Where's Jesus? We are trying to read through the Bible in a year with certain assigned texts each day. And the person who speaks on Sunday gets to preach from the assigned text on that day, which is fun on just about any day, except when it lands on like a special day like Palm Sunday or Easter, and you have to try and fit the texts that are assigned into the texts of that day. But as I was reading the assigned text for today, which did happen to be Psalm 67, which fits great for today, but our gospel in Luke 6, if you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it, turn to it, whether paper or digital. I was reading this text in Luke 6, and I saw a very small detail that, to me, tied the two stories together. The story that Cindy read and that we're looking at the beginning of the parade and the time when they were first introduced. And it's a small detail. It talks about when they were together, right about to go down a hill. Okay? We pick up our text today right after Jesus has spent the night praying. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be the apostles. Here are their names, without the lights dropping down and the mic reverbing, right? Simon, who was named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. When they came down from the mountain, that's the thing that drew those two stories together for me. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Do you see the similarities? They're coming down a mountain. There's crowds all around the place. People are jostling for position. Is Jesus like, you know, hey, excuse me, I want to introduce the 12 I picked, right? I don't know how he would have done it. I don't even know if he would have done that. But there had to have been a sense of excitement for them on that day as well, right? Jesus just picked us. Chest out, head up, what's up? Simon, give me a bump. Judas, don't mess this thing up, okay? Right? There had to have been that sense of excitement on that day. And yet, on the day of the parade, did the disciples remember what Jesus said right after he introduced them? Okay, that's what we're wrestling through, because I see a ton of similarities between what Jesus said right after and what happened during Holy Week. But in the midst of the adrenaline that was going on, I'm not sure if the disciples were thinking about this. Let's start in verse 17 again. We're going to hang out in Luke chapter 6. So verse 17, when they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because the healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. This was just, there was like, you could sense it, you could feel it in the air. Then Jesus, after picking the 12, right? They got the Team Jesus jersey. They've learned the secret handshake. They've got the water bottles, you know, all of it. After that, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, we're going to have a heck of a ride. Let's go win, right? That's what he... Jesus, this is verse 20. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Poor. They just got welcomed to the best team ever. And the first thing Jesus says is, God blesses you who are poor. Jesus described himself as a person without a home, right? You remember that? Luke chapter 9, you don't have to turn to it, but just listen. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. So for 3 years, I'm not saying Jesus was homeless. I think he always had a place to stay because he was who he was. He said he was, but when he says, blessed are you who are poor, I think he lived that. Because he didn't ride into Jerusalem on his own double-humped camel from the new store. He rode in on a borrowed donkey. And he ate dinner that night in a house that wasn't his or any of his disciples. Blessed are you who are poor, he said. That was the first thing out of his mouth once they had gathered together, right? The huddle. Come here, you 12. Right? God blesses you when you are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Hungry now. Did the disciples and Jesus ever lack food? I don't know. We have stories of them running out of food. We have stories of them being fed by a mother-in-law. We have stories of miraculous feedings. We have stories of them forgetting the bread. I don't know if they were ever hungry. But Jesus said, God blesses you who are hungry now, for you'll be satisfied. And he keeps going, God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. Again, this is, you just got to picture this. They're coming down the hill. Jesus had just picked the 12, and there's this sense of awe and excitement. There's this magnetism in the air, and he's telling them, blessed are you who weep now. Was there ever tears during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry? Yeah, we have at least once recorded when Jesus lost his friend Lazarus. Anybody ever memorized John 11:35? If you have, say it with me. Jesus wept. Okay? Blessed are you who weep now. You fast forward to Holy Week, and was there weeping there? You look at the story of Peter, just a couple of verses over, and Peter, after denying Jesus 3 times, it says he left weeping bitterly. Did the disciples on the day of the parade, going in with 2.5 million people cheering, did they think at all about what Jesus had said? And did they figure that this next week was going to be at all like they had lived? Let's keep going. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors were treated the ancient prophets this same way. Huh. How often was Jesus mocked or excluded or cursed because of the ministry he was doing?
Quite often. Did that happen during Holy Week? Good chance of it. So again, stay with me in this mental picture. We're on, the disciples and Jesus are on this hill about to Mount of Olives, about to go down before going up into Jerusalem. It's exciting. They're thinking finally the conquering Messiah has come. But did they think back at all to what Jesus had said or what they had lived? Verses 27 and 28, 24 through 26. What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised the false prophets. Did you catch that first line of verse 26? What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds. That's taking place in Luke 19, and it's taking place in Luke chapter 6. We keep going. Verses 27 and 28. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Was there ever any attempts on Jesus' life in the 3 years of his ministry? Yeah, I think it might have been either yesterday or the day before in our readings. We read of the crowd trying to grab him and throw him off of a cliff. Didn't work. But there was definite people hating and cursing and attempts of hurting. All right, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, Jesus says, offer the other cheek as well. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt as well. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try and get them back. Jesus would live this out during the week of Holy Week. Because I'll just read it. John chapter 18, verse 22 says this. Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. 3 years before, he had said, when somebody does that, turn the other cheek. And he said, well, someone wants your shirt, give me your coat as well. We know the story of him hanging on the cross. The soldiers had crucified him, divided his clothes amongst the four of them, and they also took his robe, which was made of one piece, so they gambled for it. I mean, Jesus is living out what he had told the disciples would happen on that first day he introduced them as the 12. We keep going, verse 31. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, verse 35. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you'll be truly acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. I mean, Jesus, this is the start of his ministry with his 12 disciples are saying, love your enemies. And then you fast forward to Holy Week, and he's got enemies all over the place. And is he demonstrating compassion? Absolutely. And not just to his enemies, but to his disciples. Right? Because who betrayed him? Judas. Whose feet did Jesus wash in John chapter 13? Same answer as before. Judas. That's compassion, as his Father in heaven has demonstrated compassion. You look at the next two verses in our reading. Don't judge others and you won't be judged. Don't condemn others or it'll all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give to others and you'll receive. Your gift will be returned to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, made room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked down, and what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. On the day of the parade, amongst all the hype, all the hoopla, the high fives, the nations praying, did the disciples at all think back to what Jesus turned to them and said in Luke chapter 6 when he introduced them for the first time. I don't know if they did, right? We don't know if they thought back to that. But I know what often goes through my mind and my heart during this week, especially Holy Week, right? Because as Christians, this is our week. Come on, somebody, amen. Anybody? You can feel a little bit of pride in that, right? As Christians, I mean, a Good Friday, Easter, Holy Week, this is our time. And sometimes, maybe it's just me, but sometimes during this week, my chest can go out, my head can go up, and I can start acting like a real jerk. Because this is my week, right? We win. All the other weeks of the year are tough, but let us, oh boy, we win this time. Do I forget what Jesus said my life would be like, even during Holy Week? Sometimes. I mean, let's just take something very simple, very practical. At some point, you may go out to eat this week. Do me a favor, tip well, like really, really well. My sister, my twin sister, has been a waitress for close to 20 years, and she says the worst day to work is Sunday mornings because Christians are notoriously bad tippers. Let's break that cycle. I mean, can you imagine a Holy Week and, you know, well, we know they're Christian because they're coming out, they got their fancy florals on, and they got their hats and all that, and then they don't even give you a tip? We're walking around with their heads up. I've got heads up right here. Chest out, heads up, because we know we won. Let's not forget that Jesus also said life isn't always going to be easy. And let's make sure we're both, I don't want to be a party pooper, because we should have at least one week out of the year where we celebrate, right? We should. So don't let me be a party pooper, but let's also not forget what Jesus said his disciples would go through, what Jesus said he would go through, and in doing so, what he said we would go through. So let's celebrate this week really, really, really well, but let's also remember what Jesus said on that first flat space in Luke 6. Will you do that with me? Okay, then let's pray. Jesus, what a good reminder today to not forget, to remember what you turned and told the disciples after that first time you picked them to be on your team, to be the starting 12, if you want to say it like that. Lord, I thank you that you have picked us to be on your team as well, and we don't take that lightly. Lord, we hold that with humbly. We feel the weight of representing you, and yet we also know that this is your show, that this is you doing the work. You're the one who's supposed to be praised. You're the one who will get credit. Lord, help us not forget, even this week as we go through a lot of celebratory acts, the fact that you have told your disciples, you lived it yourself, that life won't always be easy, and maybe not even during this week for us. And I don't know what that means for us this week, but would you just help us be aware? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we close with one more song.